You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are going through the whole book of Matthew, and we see people of God. Matthew, as a Jewish writer, was writing to the Jewish people. His audience were Jewish because many did not believe in the Jewish Messiah. So Matthew wanted to show them clearly that Jesus Christ is the Messiah King, the Anointed One, the one that they were all looking for. So we see we are now in Matthew chapter 17, and last week, Messiah King, the Anointed 6. So we are looking at the account of the transfiguration of Jesus being transfigured before his disciples. And we see, people of God, the Word tells us that while Peter wanted to make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus, the Word tells us a voice came from heaven. Suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. He is the one that you must listen to. He is the one that you must obey." Not Moses and Elijah anymore, but Jesus Christ came to fulfill all of the Old Testament writings, the law and the prophetic writings. So we see Jesus is the one that we must hearken to. Jesus is the one that we must obey. So we see, we stopped in verse 6, and the Word said, "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid." So we are going to start from there this week, but let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here another Saturday evening to go into your Word. We pray in the name of Jesus that your Word will transform us. Oh God, our minds will be renewed with your Word, oh God, that we can know what is good and acceptable and your perfect will. We pray in the name of Jesus, mighty God, that you will ignite in us a hunger and a thirst for more of you. Oh God, as we eat of your Word, oh God, I pray that our hunger for you will increase in the name of Jesus. Hear us as we call this evening. Have your way in our lives, we pray. Oh God, we pray for those that are listening right now, mighty God. If they are saved, we pray that you will draw them into a closer relationship with you. Oh God, as they hear your Word, oh God, they will purpose in their hearts to obey you. We pray for those that are not yet saved, oh God, that they will come into a relationship with you. That, oh God Almighty Lord, they will be, oh God Almighty, able to see and know and understand that there is a God to be served. Remove the blindfold from their eyes, I pray. Oh, God Almighty, we pray you fly the trap of the enemy that has kept them captive. And we pray in the name of Jesus that they will be released, oh God, to come into that fellowship with you. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this season. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that you have prepared for those who love you. So I pray today as we continue in your Word, oh God, we will come into a deeper love relationship with you, and we will walk by faith pleasing you. Have your way in us, oh God. And help us, O God, to continue to know that your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. O God, your Word prevents us from stumbling on this journey. So we pray in the name of Jesus that we will continue, O God, to walk hand in hand with you, Holy Spirit. O God, for you are our guide. Your Word tells us that you guide us into all truth. So we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we look to you by faith as we pray in the name of Jesus. And we say amen. And amen. Praise God. So we see, we stopped last week at verse 6. The verse 6 said, "And when the disciples heard it," when they heard the voice of God the Father speaking from heaven, "they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid." So people of God, the voice of God don't just come in a little nice, sweet way. It is thundering. And we can see from scriptures that many describe the voice of God that it thundered. So we see times in the Bible when God spoke, and we see in the New Testament, in Matthew 3:17, we see, people of God, we are at Jesus' baptism. The Word of God said the voice of God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we see also, people of God, in John 12, John 12, 28 and 29, John 12, 28 and 29, the Word of God tells us. We will be reading John 12, 28 and 29. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. So we see where Jesus was saying to the Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. So Jesus was praying to the Father and asking the Father to glorify his name. And in verse 28, we see where then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people that heard it, the Word of God said the voice thundered. It sounded like thunder. People of God, can you imagine how frightening that was? So the Word of God said when the disciples heard the voice of God, they fell on their faces. So they were frightened, they were afraid, and they became greatly afraid. So we see, people of God, the voice of God will cause us to become fearful, because the Word said the people described the voice of God that it thundered. And we see, people of God, in Matthew 17, 5, like we just read earlier, that suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. So we see when God speaks in the Bible, people of God, God speaks in such a way that fear will come upon those who hear his voice. So we see the people describe the voice of God that it thundered. And the people, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. We see also, people of God, the Word tells us in Revelation 1, 10 to 11, that the loud voice of God, Jesus Christ, spoke to John, the apostle, and the Word said his voice was a loud voice as of a trumpet. So we turn to Revelation 1, 10 and 11. Revelation 1, 10 and 11, the Word of God said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So people of God, we know when a trumpet sound, it's not just a little quiet sound. It's a loud sound that will cause us to be afraid. So we see, people of God, the voice of the Lord is described as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia and Laodicea. So we see, people of God, the Word of God tells us that the voice of God was as a trumpet. So this was loud sounding, people of God. It was like a trumpet. It was blasting. And another described the voice of God as like thunder. It thundered. So we see this voice, people of God, was not just a quiet little voice. No, it was like a trumpet. It was a blasting sound. It was a thundering sound that we hear. So we have to understand that the voice of God, people of God, will bring fear on ordinary people. It will bring fear on humanity. The Word of God said the disciples fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. We see also in Revelation 1:15 that the Word tells us that the voice of Jesus was as the sound of many waters. And many of us who have been to waterfalls, people of God, we hear that great sound of the waterfall. We see the Word tells us his voice as the sound of many waters. His voice is powerful, yet soothing. Look at it, people of God. Think of it. When you go to that waterfall, there's something powerful about the sound that you hear. The sound is powerful, yet soothing. So we see, people of God, his voice is powerful, yet soothing. The people describe his voice as that the voice of God thundered. The Word tells us in Revelation 1:10 that he spoke with a loud voice as a trumpet. It was blasting. And we see also, people of God, his voice was described as the sound of many waters in Revelation 1:15. So it shows, people of God, his voice so powerful, yet soothing. His voice has a sound of many waters, powerful yet soothing. People have got the same voice that Zephaniah spoke about in Zephaniah 3:17. The same voice will sing over his people. The word of God said he'll rejoice over his people with singing. He sings over us. The same God who thunders, he sings over us. So we see people of God, the disciples fell on their faces. They were greatly afraid because that voice must have been frightening for them. But look at verse 7 of Matthew 17. The word said, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Jesus came and touched the disciples. The disciples were there down on their faces, afraid because of the voice that they heard. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This is the beloved son. Hear him. So they fell on their faces, so afraid. They were afraid even to get up. But Jesus said, arise and do not be afraid. People of God, we need that reassuring touch from Jesus Christ. We need to hear his voice telling us to arise. Many of us, people of God, are kept in bondage by fear. But Jesus is saying to us today, arise and do not be afraid. People of God, we have to come to understand that just one touch from Jesus, just one touch, just hearing his voice reassuring us not to be afraid. Get up and do what Jesus has called you to do and do not be afraid because he is with us. So we need the reassuring touch from Jesus to dispel all fears. People of God, the disciples were afraid because of the voice of God that they heard. What are you afraid of? What is causing you not to be able to move? What is causing you to be so entangled? God is saying to you today, arise and do not be afraid. Arise. God is with you. So we need to hear that voice from Jesus saying, arise and do not be afraid. So as people of God, we have to be listening to the voice of the Lord as he speaks to us through his word. He's speaking. But are we listening? And are we willing to obey? When the Lord himself spoke from heaven to the disciples, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Are we listening to the voice of Jesus this evening, telling us to arise? Arise and do not be afraid. We have to come to that place of understanding that he's calling us out of that place of complacency where we sat and we don't want to arise, but he's calling us to arise. Get up and don't be afraid. Go and do what God has called you to do. He's able to dispel all your fears. Look at verse 8. Of Matthew 17. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Look at verse 9 of Matthew 17. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So these three disciples who had seen Jesus in his splendor, in his glory, they had seen him in the glory that he had with the Father before he came to earth. They had seen him. This was a very intimate moment, people of God. This was a very intimate moment with Jesus and these three disciples. So he said, don't tell anyone about this until after I am risen. And people of God, we see that Peter himself wrote about it after Christ was risen. We didn't hear of them mentioning, there is nothing mentioned until we read the epistles of these great men. So Peter mentioned that we saw him in his majesty. We saw him in his glory and that mount. So we see, people of God, they were obedient to the voice of Jesus, telling them not to tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So we see Peter wrote to the brethren, reminding them that he was not speaking from secondhand information. He saw the Messiah King. He saw him as the Messiah. He saw him in his glorified state. He saw him, people of God, in that state, that pre-incarnate state. He saw him, people of God, shining like the sun. He saw his clothes as white as light. Peter said, I saw him. So Jesus said, don't tell anyone. And surely he did not tell anyone until after Jesus was risen and ascended. Then he wrote the epistles telling us that Christ was risen from the dead, and he saw him in his majestic glory. He saw him as King of the universe. So we see, people of God, in verse 10 of Matthew 17. And the word of God said, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? So they were asking Jesus a question. The disciples asked Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And the scribes, people of God, they were people of the law. They were those religious leaders who knew the law and knew the prophetic writings. So they were saying that Elijah must come first. But look at Jesus' answer in Matthew 17. Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. What was Jesus speaking about? Or who was Jesus speaking about? We are going to turn to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the word said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So we are going to continue to see who Christ was speaking of. Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. So this was the prophecy of Malachi, that Elijah would come first. But look at verse 12 of Matthew 17 as Jesus continued this discourse, as he continued to explain what he was saying. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Who was Jesus speaking about? Verse 13 tells us in Matthew 17, then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. The disciples now understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. So people of God, John the Baptist had come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. So Jesus was saying, the scribes were saying that Elijah would come first, yes. But John the Baptist came to herald in the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah spoke of John the Baptist in Isaiah 40. The voice of him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So Elijah had come. The word of God says, because John the Baptist came in the power and in the spirit of Elijah. So Jesus said, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. So we see, people of God, that John the Baptist came and he said to them that Elijah has come already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wish. So we see and know that, as the word tells us, that John the Baptist was beheaded. He was hated of Herod because he spoke the truth. He spoke out against his adulterous life. So we see where he was beheaded. So Jesus said they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. They killed him. So Jesus was saying, likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Jesus was speaking of himself. I'm also going to suffer at their hands. And we know exactly how Jesus suffered at the hands of the religious people and was given over to the Roman government to be crucified. So we see, people of God, that religion will blind us. where we can't even see or recognize the Messiah. So they did not even recognize that John was the one that the prophet spoke about. Malachi spoke about him, that he would come and he would turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to their father. So we see, people of God, the disciples now understood that Jesus was speaking of John the Baptist. Let us turn to Matthew 11, Matthew 11, 11 through 15, and let us read and see what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Matthew 11, 11 through 15. The word of God said, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from that day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So all those people were looking for Elijah to come and did not know that John the Baptist had come in the power and in the spirit of Elijah. So we see, people of God, when the angel appeared to Zechariah, that's John's father, we see where he told him what would happen and how John would be, and what the work John would do in bringing, in heralding in the Messiah. So we see, people of God, in Luke 1, 13 through 17, the word of God said, "But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him." Look at verse 17, people of God. "He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Go before who? He will also go before Christ. So he is going to go before to herald in the Messiah. He said, repent. Remember John's message, people of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he was there to herald in the Messiah King. So the word tells us that Jesus, that in Luke 1, that the word of God came to Zacharias, John's father, telling him about John. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John went forth preaching, and the hearts of the people were prepared for the Messiah King. The hearts of the people were now ready to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. So we see, people of God, that Jesus spoke so highly of John the Baptist because John the Baptist had come to herald in the Messiah. He had come, people of God, to herald in the Messiah who came with the new covenant. So the new covenant, people of God, came through our Messiah, Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist came to herald him. Jesus said he has already come, but they did not know him. They did not know that he was the one that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 40. They did not know, so they did to him whatever they wish. So likewise, they're going to do to me, Jesus was speaking. I'm going to suffer at their hands because they don't even know. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears to hear. Their hearts are hardened, so they cannot perceive the things of God. And people of God, when we become so hardened, we will not understand God's word. We have to have a soft, pliable heart so that when the word of God is spoken to us, we will be able to understand and we will be transformed. When we have understanding of the word, then we can live by the word, people of God. So God is calling us to understand what Jesus is saying here. John the Baptist came, they did not even know him, but they did to him whatever they wished. So Christ came also, they did not even know him, and they did also to him what they desired to do because they didn't even know that he was the Messiah. So we see people of God, as Matthew give this account of the Messiah and all that he had gone through. The word of God tells us that he spoke of John the Baptist so highly, and then the disciples were able to understand that he was speaking when he spoke of Elijah, that John the Baptist would come in the power, as the word of God says. The angel told Zacharias he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. So we see John the Baptist even dressed like Elijah, people of God. The word of God tells us in Matthew 3 and verse 4, John's raiment was of camel's hair, and a leather girdle was around his loins. So he even dressed like Elijah. So look, and the word tells us in 2 Kings 1:8, and they answered him, and he was said, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. So we see Elijah was dressed John was dressed like Elijah. So we see he did not only live and preach and move like the prophet Elijah, but he was also dressed like him. He was a hairy man and girt around with a girdle of leather around his loins. And so John the Baptist's raiment was of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his loins. So we see, people of God, as Jesus spoke of John the Baptist, that he came in the power and in the spirit of Elijah, and he came to turn the hearts of the people back to God. So we see, people of God, when John the Baptist preached the message of repentance, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ is here. And John the Baptist told the religious leaders quite clearly that he was not the Messiah, but he came to herald in the Messiah. He is the one that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 40, that he would come to herald in the Messiah. He is that voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So we have to understand, people of God, John is highly revered by Jesus because John came to herald in the Messiah King. So Matthew made it clear that many did not know that John the Baptist was the one who heralded in the Messiah. But Jesus Christ had highly esteemed him as one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. We thank God for his word today to us, and we thank God for his people who have heard the word. We pray that we also will go forth in power and do what God has called us to do, and we'll manifest his kingdom as we go on this journey. God bless you all. We stop here this evening, and we are going to pray and close. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for your word to us. And we pray in the name of Jesus that as we hear your word, we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will practice what you say. Bring us to that place of understanding your word so we can apply it unto wisdom. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to all. Amen and amen.
In the Lord is love, reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us in 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.
Seven million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years